Hello and welcome to a podcast brought to you by The Religion of Aston Villa.
We're a social media account on Twitter and Facebook that wants to get our voices out there and heard, so please join us. Hello, guys, and welcome to another episode. Hopefully, everyone had a good Christmas and Boxing Day, apart from obviously the game. So we are going to talk about the game against Chelsea. Just a little note, we are going to be doing just reviews for now. Obviously, the Leeds game has been called off. So we will just be doing reviews until COVID settle back down, obviously. Because there's no point us doing previews if games are going to keep getting cancelled. So the one after this will hopefully be the Brentford review. So it's just to let you know at the start of the podcast that we'll still be doing more. It's just obviously we're just waiting to see what happens. But anyways, back to this. I'm joined by Callum as always. So yeah, so it's 3-1. But obviously we'll look into the game depth a little later. But for now, the lineup. I mean, there was a lot of... You know, Gerrard was out with COVID. It looks like McGinn was out. And I thought we were going to put out a potential quite a few under-23s, but that wasn't the case. So the lineup was quite strong.
Yeah, you know, we obviously didn't know the extent of the COVID issues. And obviously, we knew about Gerrard and he wasn't going to be there, which was a bit of a blow. But, you know, we could carry on without him. You know, his assistants and his coaching staff do a lot of the work anyway, so that wasn't a problem. And it was just coming into, you know, all the rumours going around, like Mings was out, you know, McGinn was out, and, you know, all these other players. So you just didn't know who was actually going to be missing. So to say that the team that we put out was that strong, it was fine.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was quite like when they said there's a COVID outbreak, I initially went straight to Sanson just because of how his injuries have been. Do you know what I mean? Like he's always, every time there's been like an injury or knock, it's always seemed to have been him. So it was quite good to see him get his first start in, I don't even know how long.
I think it was since April, wasn't it?
Was it that? I knew it was a long time. Wow. Well, there you go. So that was, it's been quite a while. But going into the first half, I mean, on the outlooks of it, we looked really good, I thought. And I mean, the goal did come, obviously, which was an own goal, and it was a banging header, let's be fair. It was absolutely superb. But yeah, I thought it was a really good first half. Obviously, the main talking points was obviously the goal and the cash decision are the main ones. Obviously, I think the penalty was a stonewall. I don't think you could argue that. And I think, as I tweeted out, for how much we love cash for his tackles, this comes with the territory. You're always going to get the odd penalty decision go against you because that's how you play. So yeah, what do you think of the two goals? I mean, obviously, the own goal and the Jorginho penalty, which I thought was hilarious by Martinez trying to psych him out.
The own goal is... a lovely cross from target, and he should take all the credit for that goal, really. Obviously, yeah. We get a little bit of luck with, you know, own goal headed finish, but, you know, you take it when it goes in your way. Disappointing that, you know, 6 minutes, I think it was something like that, or 5 minutes, we give away the penalty. And like you said, Cash is prone to a tackle, but and he's always prone to a tackle in the box. And straight away, I was like, yeah, that's a penalty. There's no argument about that. He gets the player first. It's one of those tackles where he's trying to get round the player to get the ball, and it's just not worked this time. And you know how good Jorginho is from the penalty spot. And, you know, probably isn't he? He's got 12 penalties scored in this calendar year, isn't it? Or something like that.
Yeah, 100% strike rate, isn't it?
Yeah, so it was always going to be a tough ask for Martinez to save one and then to save two, you know, in the second half. But, you know, you could probably say we edged the first half. But, you know, I think Chelsea's lineup played into our hands. We've played like with a false nine. You know, there was no outlet up front. I thought Mount was very isolated. You know, their front three didn't cause any problems really in the first half. You know, when you're playing... really three wingers, if you count Mount as a winger, or you know, two wingers and a number 10 as a front. I don't think it's gonna work, and it did play into our hands, and you know, it all changed at half time for the worse, unfortunately for us. And I still think we were lackadaisical in front of goal, and in the final third we still got a lot of problems there, which need to be sorted out. And you know, we kind of walk away from this game thinking, oh well, it's against Chelsea and we gave a good 45 minutes and that's it. But you know, where we're wanting to go, we need to have a good 90 minutes against these teams. And you know, it's all right saying, oh, we'll lose to Chelsea and then we'll beat, you know, Brentford. But you know, where we want to go, we need to be taking points near enough in every game.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. I mean, like, he's had three defeats now, and when you look, it's Chelsea, City, and Liverpool. On the outskirts, it's not that big of an issue.
I think you have to be a realistic sometimes, and you'd say, oh, the Liverpool game, you know, we could have had a point. Man City game, we gave them a good go in the last 10 minutes, so you could have possibly had a point there. And then from the first half, you're looking at you. Probably, if you don't make that tackle, you're probably 1-0 up, and the game's a bit different. So again, you could look like a point, but then the second half, you know, kills the game against us. And yeah, like you said, three out of those three teams that we've played, like you said, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Man City, you'd expect three losses. So you can't be too, you know, complacent with it all, and you need to take the, what is it, the tough with the rough, what is it, something like that.
I know what you mean.
I mean, obviously when you give those kind of performances against the big teams and you think, oh, we could have come away with a point there, it's promising. But obviously it's all ifs and buts in football, isn't it?
Going into the second half, I mean, that let's be fair, at half time personally I wouldn't have made no changes. I thought we looked very good, but then obviously Lukaku, come on, absolutely changed that game on its head. You can tell that he is, you know, he is a world-class striker. Let's not, you know, it's not beat around the bush. He is very good, and we could not cope with him. He tore Konsa apart. He tore Mings apart. I'm not going to sit and say, you know, like, I saw people slight Mings, and I know they slighted him for the Lukaku goal that come on the 56th minute. But, yeah, he should have done better, but when you saw him for the whole game, Mings just could get nowhere near him. He just flatlined him wherever he saw him. And Mings is a big guy, you know what I mean? And Lukaku just went through him like a train. It was something else. It was ridiculous. And obviously,
it's funny because we've said that, you know, when Mings comes against a quick or you know a pacey kind of winger or forward, he doesn't like that. But you know, first half you would have said he coped. Well. He did well. But when you bring, you know, that kind of powerhouse up front, you know, in Lukaku, it was always going to be tough. Even with, you know, Mings, like in a battle, you know, he's probably a £100 million player. Mings, like you said, he possibly could have done more for the goal, but I think it's just good movement by the attacker, too stationary for the defender.
Yeah,
defensive side. But there was another goal like that at the weekend, on Boxing Day. There's a few ones like that, you know, attacking players playing or, you know, anticipating more than the defending team. So it's definitely an area we need to work on. And, you know, we're not going to be perfect every game. We're not going to give 10 out of 10s every game, are we? So it's just unfortunate that they've got the strength and depth that we haven't. And, you know, they're European champions, aren't they, as well? So
yeah,
it's always going to be a tough ask. And like you said, that changed the game. And I don't know, I wasn't on Twitter that much on the game, but I don't know if people were moaning about Konsa more than Mings, because you know, all you need to do, well, all Konsa needs to do for the second goal or for Lukaku or for the penalty, sorry, is just to push him out wide, not even take the tackle. Or just give him a little nudge. I mean,
yeah, the well, the final goal, the penalty. Yeah, I think that was a frustration. I genuinely thought he's done that, because it was like, if they scored that goal, it would have been all over Sky Sports News for days upon end, and I think it was because it was, you know, it was good play by Chelsea. In all fairness, tore us apart.
Come from our attack.
Yeah, and then he broke, and then he just ran and ran and ran. And Konsa, I think he just went, do you know what? You're not having it. You're just not having it. And I think it come out of frustration, and I think it just come out of the fact that he's been, both of them have been bullied for the whole second half. I think they just had enough, and I think he just took it out. And in a way, I think if it come down to Lukaku scoring an absolute wonder goal or Jorginho just scoring a penalty, I'm kind of glad he did what he did. You know what I mean? If he could, obviously, you can't really say he would have scored. You know, Martinez is a very capable keeper, but if he did score, like I said, it would just been a bit embarrassing, I suppose, from Konsa and Mings' point of view, that they've just been absolutely out-bullied and ran by, you know, an absolute giant of a man. So I kind of get it, but I don't like it. I will say, from a positive point of view, it was good to see Traore get minutes. Obviously, Chukwuemeka obviously coming on. El Ghazi as well for us. But obviously, it was really good to see Traore. Did some good little neat touches. Good to see him get good 15 minutes. And he come on for Ings, who I thought had a really poor game. But, you know, it is Chelsea at the end of the day. It's like I say, our season's not going to be made on beating the European champions. So on that, is there anything positive and negative you want to say, really? That, you know, obviously, I don't want to be too critical, because like I said, as you said on Twitter, it was a bit toxic, as always.
I think today really shows how we need a like a beast of a CDM, a centre defensive midfielder. You know, when you pick Luiz against Lukaku, who's going to win 10 times out of 10? It's going to be Lukaku. But, you know, what Luiz brings is that ball playing. I don't think Nakamba would have stood a chance either. I see a lot of people saying, oh, I wish we had Nakamba here. But, you know, against Lukaku, you've got no chance even for him.
Yeah, the form he was in. The form he was in. Like, I don't think there was many centre defenders could have coped with him yesterday.
Positives is, you know, there's still some good play. Good football being played. Even Cesc Fabregas put that on Twitter, praising the work rate and also the fancy football that we're playing, which is nice. But you know, it also needs to give us chances, and sometimes it doesn't lead to anything. We just need to be better in the final third. That was one issue that I thought we really lacked in yesterday. Was that, you know, we got into the final. It's not just been this game that I've said it as well. It's been quite a few games recently. Is that we get to the final third, and we seem to cross it when there's no one in the box, or we just, you know, waste the chance. So yeah, we need to be more clinical in the final third. And I, to be fair, I thought all the substitutes did poorly. To be honest, I did. You know, Ings again was poor. I thought our outlet was Watkins every time. It seemed like the ball always kind of gravitated towards Watkins as well. Yeah. You know, with all the clearances and things like that. I thought it was okay that Sanson was okay. You know, when you're trying to fill the shoes of McGinn, it's never going to be the same. And it's obviously one big play that we missed from midfield. But, you know, and, you know, Mings gets booked, which means he's out for the Brentford game. I can't think on the top of my head how many Konsa's on now. You know, Martinez got booked as well, which I can't remember what for. It must be time wasting.
Yeah, it was the cycle. Like, when he was taking the penalty for the first one, he kind of went up to the spot and started giving it like all the, you know, started kicking the ball and all, like he was just doing mind games for the first penalty to try and put him off. Obviously, it didn't work, but yeah.
Ah, okay, yeah. So, yeah, that's another thing then. So, the thing we need to be careful on is yellow cards, definitely. So, but yeah, there's not a lot we can say, I don't think. Obviously, it's a tough team that we've come up against, and they've got so much firepower. It was always going to be tough, and but we just need to move on and beat the teams around us, and hopefully we can take a top half finish. I think that's what it's going to be now, what it needs to be
is a top half finish.
Yeah, from a positive point of view, I thought it was good to see Chukwuemeka get a couple of get 15 minutes. It was good to see Traore come back. It was good to see Trezeguet at the bench as well. You know, that it's positive things. Like you said, 45 minutes I thought was very good. You know, the negative side is the first shot on target from us other than that own goal, which obviously doesn't really count.
It's the El Ghazi chance.
Yeah, 80th minute. So we took 80 minutes to have a shot on target. Now, I will say from, you know, to go against that was there was a lot of good blocks from the defenders of Chelsea. It wasn't like, you know, we was nowhere near in the game. It was just they were making good decisions.
Yeah.
Another negative thing I will say is the link-up play between Watkins and Ings. I don't know whether they've just got tunnel vision and can't see around them, or they just don't work and don't get on. Because every time Watkins had the ball, easy decision was to pass to Ings, he shoot, and this, vice versa for Ings. But then when I think Buendia was coming into play, they kind of passed a bit more to him. And like I remember Ings doing a little back heel to Buendia. And you're thinking, oh, you should have shot there. You know what I mean? Like, it just the decision making was wrong. Ings does look like he's off pace. I don't know if he's still not 100% fit, but he's just not. It's just not working for him at the moment. I think we need to revert back to playing just Watkins on his own and having more inner players in and around him. Like I say, we try Traore and Trez back now. That means we've got two wingers. Obviously, we've got El Ghazi, but yeah, he's always going to be bench, in my opinion. It'd be good to see Trezeguet get some minutes next week against Brentford. It'd be good to see Traore. So it'd be good to see if we're going to go back to using wingers or carry on playing with the flying fullbacks. Because in my opinion, I thought this formation, especially in the first half, was superb. It was good to see. Like the fullbacks did really well. So on that, player rating time. So what did you give your back five?
I think Martinez is going to be the one that gets the most for the game. I don't think you can call it a man of the match performance, but you can definitely say it's the better player performance. You know, even though he scored three goals, there was some still called upon that. And I thought his distribution was actually one of the best in a while. So I'll give him a six.
I gave him a seven. There was he could have easily been four or five in the second half. There was a really good chance. I'm sure he went to his right and saved with his left, and it kept him out. I thought that was really good, so I gave him a seven, and he is my man of the match. Obviously, Lukaku was clearly the man of the match overall, but from a Villa's perspective, I thought he was our best player.
I'm going to give him all fours, just because. Well, you can't give Concert any more than that because of giving away the penalty. Can't give Mings any more than that for his, you know, I mean, people were calling it laziness, but I don't think it's that. But, you know, and the stupid yellow card, and also Cash for the penalty, and then Target didn't. Well, I mean, you could argue that it's his goal or, you know, the assist, but you talk about going back defensively, you know, just nothing. So, yeah, all fours.
Yeah, like you say, it's Konza's fault for the second penalty, Mings for the Lukaku, Cash. Well, to be fair, Target was, he fell over before Konza took him out for the penalty, yeah. He fell over. So Target's at fault for that. Cash penalty that he gave away. And also we nearly had an own goal as well. Yeah. So, yeah, so fours across the board, yeah. Jacob, Ramsey, Louise and Sanson.
I think I'm going to give them all a five. You know, Ramsey was having to play a bit deeper to cover, you know, like the space of McGinn and things like that, and to help out with the fullbacks. But he was still trying to drive forward. I thought Louise, it was a standard Louise performance. It's just that, you know, you can't give him any higher because, you know, we were on the end of a bad result. And then Sanson was his first start, and you know, 90 minutes for a long time, and again, like I said earlier, filling in the shoes of John McGinn is never going to be an easy thing to do, but I thought he coped okay.
I'll give them all sixes. I thought Ramsey did some good runs and he stole the ball a few times. I thought it looked quite good. Luiz with some good little passes and movements as well. Couple of balls that he robbed as well. And Sanson, I thought he did some good passes. However, for the cash own goal, for the cash penalty, leading up to it, he was begging for Sanson to tuck in next to him to help out on that far side. And you could see, I don't know if you saw it, but I'm sure there's quite a few footages that aren't. I'm not going to moan at him because, like I say, it's his first start in a long time. But there was a few times where McAllister was shouting him to tuck in to come, you know, come back because Jacob Ramsey was helping target, but Sanson never really helped Cash out. It kind of bit like back in the day with Cash and Traore, where Traore would never trap back and defend. Sanson was kind of going that way. So maybe Sanson needs to be played more forward if that's what he's going to do, you know, if it's not his game to defend. But apart from that, I thought he did some good little passes, good little engines on him. So I thought they was, as a group, you know, between the defence, the midfield and the attack, I thought the midfield three was the better out of each area that we've got. So I gave them all sixes. The front three of Buendia, Ings and Watkins.
Buendia five. You know, he's not his best, not his worst kind of thing. Some good play at some points, but just needs to be better for more periods of the game. Watkins a six. You can't fault his running. I thought that he probably should have had at least a goal. Snatching at chances a bit. Decision-making, I think, let him down a little bit. And then I'm going to give Ings a three because I can't even think about him doing anything in the game.
Yeah, you're exactly the same as me. Ings was our worst player. Like I say, I'm not going to slight. Goals will come. Let's not beat around the bush. You know, he will score goals. Think it might just need a settling in season, that's all, which is quite unusual for a player, you know, coming in from the same league. Normally, he, you know, at Southampton, he was prolific pretty much every week or every other week. So, you know, he will get going. He's just taking time. He's had a few injuries and knocks. So, you know, give him time. Game of three, Buendia, yeah, same. It wasn't nothing special, nothing. But, you know, there were some good balls. He was trying, to be fair. I think it was just a very good back four that kept them out from scoring. And that goes for Watkins as well. Like you say, Watkins probably could have had a goal, but, you know, it is what it is. When you're playing against Thiago Silva, who's arguably one of the best ever centre-halves in world football ever, and he's still smashing it in the Premier League at 35, the oldest player in the league outfield, kind of shows you where he is. Rudiger, you know, touted for everywhere in the world with his contract being up. You know, you've got a fight on your hands as well. So I didn't think it was that bad. The substitute, which was Chukwuemeka, El Ghazi and Traore.
I'm giving them all a four because I don't think they had an impact on the game. I also thought they all were very poor on the ball. I have to slate Chukwuemeka because I think he was the worst on the ball out of the three of them. Traore gave the ball away too much, trying to be too fancy. And El Ghazi, it's unfortunately for him, it seemed like all the play was being down the right hand side, so he wasn't really involved that much. I don't think the substitutes, you know, gave them the kind of like a leg to stand on, you know, and pushing the door, because I don't think any of them were. And obviously, Traore come back from injury, and El Ghazi's a squad player, and Chukwuemeka's a youth player, so. Yeah, it's nothing to write home. Sorry, nothing to write home about for the substitutes.
Yeah, I agree. Like I say, I think it was just good to see Chukwuemeka get some minutes, but I think he got caught up in the moment. You know, you are playing, like you said, European champions. It's a task for a lot of experienced pros, let alone a kid breaking in his first, you know, season really, or season and a half. El Ghazi's squad player, as you say, he's a 1 in 10 player, and it was. Would have been nice for it to be in then to be that game, but it wasn't. And Traore was just coming back from injury, so like I said, I think that was just minutes to get him back in the fold. Any other news before we go? Obviously, we know about, you know, Gerrard's going to miss, McGinn's potentially going to miss, that we know too. You know, obviously Mings is going to miss as well, Brentford. So, you know, like I said, we're not really going to do a preview because we don't know if the game's going to go ahead. With the outbreaks and everything going on at the moment. Obviously, we know the Leeds game was postponed. So is there any other news you've got for us this week?
The Leeds game being cancelled might actually help us, bringing players back like McGinn and things like that. I'm struggling to find some news, to be honest, because it doesn't seem like it's been the best of weeks for us at the moment. I found it interesting that Gary McAllister said that he would want 5 substitutes. I was always kind of on the fence about not having 5 substitutes because it would always help the big teams out. You know, the teams have got the strength in depth. But obviously, if we feel that we want it, then we'll do it. But the thing is, the other 2 substitutes, who are you thinking about bringing on? Because at the moment, it's not going to be anyone significant. It's going to be, youngsters. So, we wait to see about the 5 substitutes rule. And also, it's going to be about if we can contain the cases in the club and try and keep it to a minimum so we've got everyone available. When you look at teams like Crystal Palace and they've had 10 unvaccinated players and, they wanted to have the game called off and all this lot and they still had to play. We can't get to that kind of level, so we just need to do everything that we can behind the scenes.
Like you said about the 5 substitutes, I'm against it. If you can pick anybody you want, I'm against it because this is going to favour the top 6. You know, who've got world class players sitting on the bench, and if Man City can take off half the outfield players, that I'm and then bring on 5 world class players, fully fit, 100%. They're going to kill teams. They already are killing teams, but I mean, it'll be something ridiculous, So I think if they're going to do a 5 substitutes, then I think it should still be the standard 3. And I think the other 2 should be players that I'm from, under 23s. I think that's that makes it fairer then. So you can't bring anybody over the ages of 22 onto the pitch. Okay, there might be world-class players out there that I'm not going to say there will. There definitely is players out there that are world-class under 23 years of age. But I think that's the only way you can do it is to make it fair. Because, like I say, if Man City, Man United, Chelsea can switch half their outfield players against any team outside the top 6, they're going to kill them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking for curiosity at Man City's bench. Obviously, you've got Foden, Grealish, Jesus, and that's like a 3 subs there already. So to add 2 other players into that list as well, and if they've just scored 6 against Leicester. I mean, obviously they conceded 3, but yeah, I've always thought that it would benefit the top teams.
Too much.
You get the teams like, especially like the likes of Brentford and Norwich, really, really struggle against the top teams when they bring on 5 players.
Yeah, it's too much. I mean, quite interesting, like I say, if we take on yesterday's game against us, so they brought Lukaku on, they brought Kovacic on, they brought Christian on, which was because Thiago Silva got injured. They still got Saul on the bench, they got Zayac on the bench. Interestingly, they got Ross Barkley on the bench. They got Saar on the bench. They got Aspilicueta on the bench. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you say, like, at the 60th minute yesterday, they decided to bring on Ziyech and Saul, then, that just, it's ridiculous. And like you say, if Man City had extra, if they had 2 extra places to bring on from their bench yesterday, just using them. So they brought Foden on, which is the only sub they used. So they can bring on 4 more. They can bring on Nathan Aké, was how much money? What, 50 million was he? Something like that? 30 million?
40, something like
that. Yeah, Grealish was 100 million, as we know. Jesus, that's probably
worth 50.
Yeah, then they've got a few youngsters on the bench.
But there's no Rodri.
Yeah, there's no Rodri. You know, that's how much money again. And obviously, they're going to go and probably sign another striker in the summer. So obviously, one of these midfielders, because they don't really play with a striker, really, an outfield one. You know, you're going to have somebody like Mahrez on the bench, or Silva or Sterling to bring on as well. It's just, yeah, five. Like I say, the only way it works is if the two extra, they, you know, you got your standard three, then two extra is if they're under 23s. I'll be okay with that, because then obviously youth players are getting called up across the board. They're getting to showcase the skills. I understand that. I understand that Man City and Chelsea and all that are probably going to dupe the system and sign, you know, like £100 million worth 21-year-olds, but they're doing that anyways. You know, so I kind of get it if they're going to bring it in, but still, I'd rather it just stay at the three subs. Sorry for waffling on there, guys. So thank you for listening. Hopefully we'll be back for the Brentford review. Like I say, we are just going to see what happens. So there will be no previews until COVID's calmed down again, and then we'll jump back in. However, we are coming up to New Year. So if we don't speak to you, well, actually, I don't think we will speak to you before New Year.
No, second, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, second. So have a good New Year. Sorry, guys. Because the Leeds game got called off. That's what's throwing me out at the minute. So, yeah, hopefully everyone has a new Happy New Year. Hopefully we will be back for that. If not, if argument's sake, it gets called off, or even if it does go ahead, we are coming to the January window. So we will be doing transfer talks, media madnesses, any new signing we make. Hopefully we do make some, because we do need a few players coming in. We'll do a transfer
one.
Yeah, we'll do a whole transfer, like rumours podcast. We'll do like we normally do. If we do sign somebody, we will do a whole podcast on the new signing. Hopefully it's somebody we know, because when we signed the likes of Nakamba and Salafu back in the day, that would have been difficult. So hopefully it's somebody that we know, even just to cover, just to give you guys some information. But thank you guys for listening, and up the Villa.
Up the Villa. Keep it going.
It's changed, that has. That's, it's, you changed. Love it, you do. Thank you, guys.
See ya. Each week. Keep the faith. All right, okay. Up the Villa. Let's go. Happy New Year.